Is there anything more irritating than the little voice of the GPS saying, recalculating? Honestly, I think the developers put a hint of disgust into the tone of the voice, that somehow we made the wrong turn, and now we're making it adjust to get us back on track. You know what I really hate it? I really hate it when I'm actually not going off track. Right? I pull in to fill up with gas, and it flips out. Recalculating. Or, better yet, I'm on the highway, and I just pull off into a rest area. Now, this is the same machine that guided me to Starbucks. It should have anticipated. I'm just saying. Right? But I have to admit, they are helpful. Right? So when you have to go in a different direction, it'll bring you back. Say there's an accident on the 10 and you got to pull off, and how in the world am I going to get home? And it'll recalculate and take you a different way. Or on the rare occasions that you take a wrong turn, right? It'll steer you back and get you on the right path again. In effect, that's what happens here in Joshua chapter 7 and 8. God's people have gotten off course. They're off track a little bit. So God does some recalculating, and he gets them recalibrated and back on the right path. Now, to catch you up to speed, we left off. The walls of Jericho came down in a miraculous way. So obviously it was God who handed over the city to them. By the time we get to chapter 7, Joshua is meeting with his key officials, and he's looking at the city of Ai. And he says, send some spies down there. I think that's the next city that we're going to overtake. The spies go down, come back, and they say, piece of cake. Little bitty city down there, not going to be a problem for us. Don't get the whole army riled up. 2,000 or 3,000 soldiers should do it. So they send 3,000 soldiers down to attack Ai. Stunning defeat of Israel. Israel is defeated in a humiliating way. Not only do they hold off the army, but they chase them into the desert. Joshua is devastated. He throws himself on the ground in front of the Ark of the Covenant. He starts lamenting about what a terrible leader he is, and everything is gone, and all the humiliation of the other nations. And then he says, we should have stayed on the other side of the Jordan. I mean, he's really in despair at this moment. If that's not enough, then comes word from God. Someone didn't follow their orders at Jericho. God was very explicit in Jericho. He says, go over, take the city, I'm giving it to you, but do not take its plunder. Don't take any of the possessions that are there. Well, evidently, someone has. Someone has taken something out of this city, and that's why everything is in chaos. By the time you get to chapter 8, though, right, it's all ironed out, it's all worked out. Now, God has a game plan for them of how they're going to attack Ai. Success for them. See, God did some recalculating, and he recalibrated the people, and he put them back on the right track. But you know, it is easy to get off course. It's easy to get off course where God is leading you. You know, you want to do the things that God wants you to do. You want to follow his plan for your life, but then life just happens. And then all of a sudden, you go a little bit this way or a little bit that way. If we look to the book of Joshua, there's two ways in which we can really get off course. The first one is desires deceive us. Our desires will deceive us. We all have desires. We all have things that we want. Maybe it's possessions, maybe it's position, maybe it's people. We all have things that we want, and if our desires are strong enough, they can deceive us into thinking that even if it's wrong, that it's okay for us to go ahead and get them. Perfect example of that is a guy named Achan. Achan is just a regular Israelite. There's nothing to say that he's some evil thief of kind of a guy. He's just a regular Joe. They're the Israelites. They go in to Jericho, right? Now, he knows that God has said explicitly, everything in Jericho is dedicated to God. You leave it alone. Don't take any of it out, right? Somewhere along the way, his desire deceived him because he took some things out. He saw this beautiful silk robe. He saw some silver. He saw some gold. I don't know what happened. I don't know how he deceived himself. Maybe he thought to himself, no one's going to notice. It's such a small little amount, I'll just take it with me. Perhaps he thought to himself, I know it's wrong, but this is going to make a better future for my kids, so I'll bite the bullet and I'll take the blame. Take it right. I don't know what happened, but all I know is he did what he wasn't supposed to do, and he knew it was wrong. Because we find out later that he dug a hole under his tent and buried it so that nobody would find it, right? Because his desires deceived him. Happens to us. Happens to us. We know that something is wrong, but we have a way of kind of rationalizing it, of justifying our decisions. So let's say this week you got to take the car in for a repair. You go and pick it up the next day, and you think, boy, that bill just wasn't really all that high. I thought it would be more than that. When you get home, you realize they didn't charge you labor for anything. Right? And you say to yourself, well, they're all a bunch of crooks anyways. It's about time it went my way. Right? Right? We can deceive ourselves that it's okay not to go back and make things right. Maybe in your career, you say some disparaging things about a fellow coworker to the boss because you know that the two of you are going to be vying for the same promotion. But you say to yourself, but really, I'm the better person for the job. I'm just helping the boss out here a little bit. Right? How about real-life example? Real-life example from me, okay? So some of you know I have a rather strange hobby, and that is I collect and repair antique radios. So radios from 1930s, 1940s, I don't know why, I just like them, okay? So there are tons of occasions I go on the hunt for a new radio. Now, most of the time when I go to purchase an antique radio, usually the people have a, let's say, elevated idea of what it's actually worth. And my job is to bring them more down into reality of what it's really worth. But there have been occasions where I've showed up to look for a radio, realized that it's a rare radio, and they're asking just a fraction of what it's worth. It's probably worth 4-5 times what they're asking. Now, being transparent, my first reaction is, score! Yeah! Right? And see, I can deceive myself because I say to myself, I'm paying exactly what they ask for. I didn't try and talk them down at all. Is that really in line with how God wants us to live? Where he tells us, treat your neighbor as you would have him treat you. You see what I'm saying? We can get off course and deceive ourselves because we desire something, we want it, so we can justify it in our own minds. The second way that we can get off course is through confidence, because confidence corrupts. And I don't mean being confident in yourself. You can be confident in yourself, but when you are so confident in yourself to the exclusion of God that we don't need God in this instance, that's when you get yourself in trouble. I believe this is what happened with Joshua. Joshua and his men had this overconfidence that now all of a sudden they don't need God for this. I'll show you what I mean. Take a look at Joshua chapter 7, verse 2. So they just got done with the defeat of Jericho. So Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai. Go up and spy out the land, he said. That seems pretty straightforward. What's missing there? You notice anything that's missing? Where's God in this picture? God has been calling all the shots so far. God is the one that told them when and where to cross the Jordan. God is the one who told them how to take over Jericho. So why is it all of a sudden changed that God isn't calling the shots anymore? There's no mention of Joshua going to God in prayer, seeking out, where do you want us to go next? Where's the next place to advance to take over the promised land? No, they're coming off a great victory. So they say, well, what's next in line? There's that little place over there called Ai. That should be easy pickings. Let's go after that. So that's what the spies do. They go down there and they come back with their report. And it says, don't have all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack. Don't make the whole people toil, for they are few. Do you see the overconfidence that's happening right there? The overconfidence of saying, we got this. We took Jericho, that wasn't a problem. They're just a little small little burb over there. We can handle that. Stunning defeat. They're humiliated in front of all the other nations because they're overconfident. They're just going to go out and do this without God. Happens to us, doesn't it? We're living our life, things going well, I mean, let's be honest with ourselves. We don't go to God when things are going right. We go to God when things are going wrong. It's when things go south, that's when we hit our knees. God, what should I do? God, I need some help here. God, get me out of this. And you should, at that time, go to God. But why is it that when life is going well, he's maybe just a passing thought? We're not checking in with him. God, is this the way you want me to go? How many major decisions have you made and you did not utter one word of prayer asking God, is this the right decision? That's what happens. We get going in life, things are going well, so we just forge ahead. But we can get off course. And the problem is, if we don't make a correction, we'll just go further and further away from God. We've got to recalibrate. We've got to get back onto the path that God would have us live. We recalibrate when, first of all, we recognize, we repent, and then we remember. You got to recognize. Recognize the fact, I'm off track here. I'm not going the way that God wants me to go. I believe that's what you see happening with Joshua. Joshua comes to the realization, I'm off course. Let's go to Joshua chapter 7, verse 6. So he's just gotten the devastating news that the army has been defeated. They've been pushed out into the desert. It says, then Joshua tore his clothes, fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening. Then it goes on to say, to make matters worse, then the elders come up to him, and they throw dust on him. All right? This guy's in bad shape. I mean, he has fallen into depression here, that everything has gone wrong. I think what's happened is Joshua recognizes he didn't include God in his plans. He got overconfident and just went headlong into attacking Ai. Sometimes we got to recognize we're off course. Are you off course right now? Are you doing your own thing? Have your desires gotten a hold of you? Have you decided that you don't need God, you can handle everything on your own? When's the last time you checked in with him to make sure you're aligned with him? The first step is to recognize it and then to repent. And repentance is this. Repentance is we come and we confess our sin to God, but repentance also includes God forgiving that sin and then enabling us to turn around and get back on course. And this is what we see happening with our buddy Achan. So Achan, he's taken these things. My guess, he's riddled with guilt. And you can read about it in chapter 7, where they go through a series of events where finally it gets narrowed down to him. And Joshua calls him out. And he says, Achan, give glory to God and tell me what you did. Here's his response, verse 20. And Achan answered Joshua, truly I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I did. Sounds like a sincere confession to me. He recognizes, I sinned against the Lord. And then he goes on specifically, and this is what I did. Now, side note here, there are still consequences to his actions. So if you go back and read chapter 7, you'll find out the pretty horrific consequences to his actions. In the same way, there are consequences to our actions. If you go out and rob a bank this afternoon, yes, if you confess it, God will forgive you, but yes, you're going to prison. That's just how it works. There are consequences to our actions. But Scripture tells us, though, that when there is a sincere confession, then there is forgiveness. Listen to what he wrote in 1 John. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we make our confession to God, then God covers us with the blood of his son Jesus. That's what his life, death, and resurrection was all about. So that sins could be forgiven, we could be released from the past. And then repentance says now God enables us to turn around and to get back on course, to get back on the path that he wants us to have. If you go further in chapter 7 of Joshua, once Achan has made his confession, the whole people get back on track. God gives them the game plan for how to go after Ai, and they have victory. So we get back on track, and then we remember. We got to remember to stay close to God and God's word. Joshua realized that. Let's now look to chapter 8, verse 30. So they've had this time of success. Ai has been delivered over to them. At that time, Joshua built an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the people. Moses had told them to do this. Moses, on any number of occasions before they crossed the Jordan, told them, now when you go over and you conquer the land, he says, don't get haughty. Don't think that it's by your might and by your power. No, it's I who am giving it to you, God says. You need to remember that. And then specifically, Moses said, when you get to the other side, build an altar, sacrifice on it, and then remember and read the word of God. Joshua remembers this. He builds the altar. He offers up sacrifices on it, and then he reads the word of God. So we go down to verse 34. And afterward, he read all the words of the law. Verse 35, there was not a word of all that Moses commanded that Joshua did not read. So we're not talking just the Ten Commandments here, right? We're talking all of the word of God that he'd given to Moses. Now, at a minimum, that's the book of Deuteronomy. So Joshua is going to read through the entire book of Deuteronomy. Now, if you think that I preach long, I'm just saying, this took a while, right? Couple key points here. Joshua is a great leader. Joshua recognizes that he's off target. Joshua remembers what Moses had told him to do. Joshua makes it right, and then Joshua, as the leader, reads the word of God to the people, putting himself under the word of God just as they are, to remind them. If we're going to stay close to God, then we have to listen to God. If we're going to stay on course, if we're going to go down the path that God is leading us, we've got to stay close to the Word of God. We've got to read it. We've got to study it. We've got to meditate on it. It can't be something that's casual. It has to be something we do on a regular basis. That's the best way to stay on target. And even with that, this side of heaven, we'll still get off course. And as much as I don't like that irritating little voice that says recalculating, I actually appreciate it. If that little device didn't say it was recalculating, I wouldn't even know I was off course. But not only does it announce to me that you've gone off course, but then it says, but this is how you can get back on course. There are some times where God has to recalculate. He has to call to attention that we're off target, we're off course. But then he always shows us how to get back on course. It starts when we recognize it, when we repent, and then we remember. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, because we live in a sinful world and we are sinful people, we will get off course and we will not lead the lives that you want us to do. We pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you wake us up, that we'd recognize that we're going away from you, that we'd repent of that, and then we'd come to you and always remember you and your promises. In Jesus' name, amen.